the Sifti Chaim, and amongst other Mefarshim explain that the shame, the name of a Yom Tov, is Moira the Mahus of the Yom, is portraying the essence of the day, just like your own individual names signify so much about your essence. Avram, the Avraham, he's the actually you find with Avram, they're normally, it could be Mechanchim, they could be very much into Chesed. Similarly, we find that the name of the Yom Tov teaches you so much about the Yom Tov. So Rosh Hashanah, the fact that Chazal call Rosh Hashanah in that format, is telling you a lot about the Mahus of the Yom, tells you a lot about the essence of that day. So Lahavdil, it's not the new year as it is on the 1st of January, it's the beginning of the new year, it's the Rosh Hashanah. Chazal explained that everything that happens on the 1st of Tishri is the Shoresh, is the root of the ongoing year. You are planting seeds for that future year, so much so that every action we do will have a ripple effect and a consequence for the future year. We can now start understanding some of the actions we do on Rosh Hashanah. For instance, the Simonim. When we eat the Simonim on Leil Rosh Hashanah, we're not doing it Cholila for superstition. We're doing it because when we have honey and when we have carrots and when we have the different simonim, we are sowing seeds for that future year in all those areas. In fact, that's one of the concepts where our Rizal says we shouldn't sleep on the daytime of Rosh Hashanah, because we're mamish sowing seeds of lethargy, of a lack of koyach for that future year. So here's the shaila: if everything is affected within Rosh Hashanah, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing a kasiva, when he's writing an inscription throughout for that year, so there's a famous Tosfos in Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, which is like this. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, which is the Dalet Prokim Ha'olam Nidon, the four times the world is judged. The Pesach Al HaTvuah, Pesach is judged on produce. Bat Seres Al Peres Ha'ilon. The Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boye Olam Oven the Fon of Kidney Morim. On Rosh Hashanah, every single individual comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'bachad Nidonin Al HaMoyim. And Tosfos asks the following: if everything, if your whole year is done on Rosh Hashanah, then why do you need those three other times? The Dugma. Is your Parnasa going to be inscribed on Rosh Hashanah, your panosa for next year, come Rosh Hashanah, is that what is being inscribed? Because if it is, then why do you need Pesach? What's the uniqueness of Pesach to have a din for Tzvuah? Surely it's within Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Kasha goes so much deeper. For instance, Rabbi Yossi says, Adam Nidoin B'chol Yoin, you're judged every day. Well, if we're judged every day, what's the uniqueness of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah? I'll give you a tangible example to see the problem here. It's decided, surely, who's going to live and who's going to die, who's going to suffer from terrible illness. So, when this morning, in our tefillahs, I was putting a name, there's a very young boy with a brain tumor at the moment in Edra, his name is Chaim Yosef Yonatan Yeshua Ben Chai Yisara. I'm doubling this every day to him. But you could argue, it's all been decided the previous Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it was decided what will be. Can I change a Gezal Din that was decided on Rosh Hashanah? And if I can, then what was the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah? And if I can't, then what is the Kayach of Tzilla? So it's a famous problem, and there's many dimensions to it, but I'd just like to supplement it by giving an additional problem. The second question is, we're taught that the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim Munochim Lefonech are open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let me ask you, the year Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar, that previous Rosh Hashanah, let's see if anyone's awake, was he inscribed in the Sefer Chaim or the Sefer Meisim? was Moshe Rabbeinu in the year the Rosh Hashanah before Zayin Adar? Which book was he put into? In fact, every tzaddik who's nifter, which sefer is he put into beforehand? And I'll tell you something else. There's some Rishoyim out there in the world who are alive, and they live from one year to the next. So which sefer did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in? In fact, whenever we say Zachreinu L'Chaim, the Sefer Chaim, what exactly do we mean by that? And the third and perhaps most complex problem of all that I'd like to tackle is to understand a few points in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Gimel says a few things. First of all, in Halacha Aleph he says like this: Kol echad ve'echad ze'odom, every single individual, yesh l'schuyos avoinos, he has merits and he has sins. Mi shischuyos av yiras, you say rois al avoinos, of someone whose merits are more than their sins, tzaddik. That's the Rambam's definition of a tzaddik. You've got more merits than sins, tzaddik. Or mi shavoinos av, you say rois av shchuyos av, someone whose sins outweigh their merits, that's the rosha. This is the Rambam. Mechsa lemechsa beinoni. Half half, you're a beinoni. That's in Halacha Aleph. In Halacha Gimel, he writes like this: Misha nimtza tzaddik. Someone who, it transpires on Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is judging every single individual. Someone who on Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu judges, is a tzaddik. Nechtam lechayim. He's inscribed in the Book of Life. Misha nimtza rosha. Someone who, it transpires, is classified as a rosha. Nechtam lemisa. He's inscribed in the Book of Death. Bahabeinuni. And the average individual. Toilin oisei adyem akipurim. We delay up until Yom Kippur. Im osot shuva, if he repents, nechtam lachayim, he's inscribed in the Book of Life. The in love, and if he doesn't, nechtam lemisa, he's inscribed in the Book of Misa. So we have a few problems here. First up, the Rambam's definition of a beinoni. Find a beinoni is someone who's exactly mechsa lemechsa, who's done half schuyos and half avonos. So here's the problem. We always learn that the majority of us are beinoni. If that's the case, that you need your schuyos and avonos up to match 50-50, who in the whole world, one person, could truly be a beinoni? For instance, if what the Rambam means is you wake up in the morning and you go and you say Moida Ani, oh, one merit. Then you go to Negovasa, two merits. You go downstairs, you're a bit rude to your wife, so it's now 2-1. Then you're not that good to your children, okay, so now we're having 2-all. You go into davening, you put on tefillin, oh, 3-2. Actually, you don't have the right kavanah, 3-all. In other words, is that what the Rambam means? That it's you weigh up all your merits, all the other. So who at the end of the day, is it going to be mamish 969 and 969 exactly? Who in one day does exactly the same amount of merits and avonos? And to say in a whole year we can attain exact equilibrium, surely that's absolutely impossible for someone to have mamish bidyuk fierce of an avonos. So that's one area of a problem, one area of difficulty. And by the way, the Rambam then goes and qualifies it and says, we don't even know the true value of every mitzvah. It's impossible to know, because who knows what a mitzvah, first of all, it's relative. For one person, one mitzvah could be more than another. So it's impossible for us to calculate it. And according to the definition, it's got to be mitzvah, how is it possible that one person could be a beinoni? And perhaps the more significant problem is the following. And the Kosh Be'ar asked this, amongst others: if the vort of the Rambam is you're exactly 50-50, then why is it that one needs to tip the scales according to the Rambam is teshuva? What you should be asking is, if you want to be written in Nechtam L'Chaim, if you want to change from the Beinoni to the Tzaddik, do you know what you need to do? Any mitzvah, One mitzvah, if you're exactly mitzvah to mitzvah, one mitzvah, that's going to change the balance. So, faith, anything, you know, chesed, do an act of tefillah, any act will sway the balance. Why dafka did shuvah? The Rambam is very clear. What needs to change you from beinoni to tzaddik is teshuvah. Why? That was the definition. So let's tackle the Rambam first. There's a Gemara in Brochus, Daf Samach Aleph, which also has a definition of tzaddikim, rishayim, and beinoni. And its definition goes something like this. Says the Gemara, what is the definition of a tzaddik? Yetzer toiv shaytam. That one's good inclination is shaytam, is leading them. What is the definition of a rasha? Yetzer hara shaytam. What is the definition of a beinini? Elu vo'elu shaytam. Both the yetzer hara and the yetzer toiv shaytam. So the Vilna Gaon explains that this is actually what the Rambam means also. Says something like this. The Rambam doesn't mean that you're meant to add up every single mitzvah at the end of your day, and you add up every single avera at the end of the day, and you total it up. He means a much more deeper thought. He's telling you like the Gemara, which is the following. We are a amalgam of Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov. And actually the Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem that we're given a Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov, and we're given a Rotzon. You're given your Rotzon. The way that the Nesu Kedem and the Ramchal explain that is you have almost this neutrality to you, and then you decide, do I want to be navigated by my Neshama, by my Yetzer Tov, or no, do I want my Yetzer Hara to be shaped me? That's our rotzon. By the way, the Rezefa explains that on Rosh Hashanah, that MS, that's what you're being judged. You're being judged on your rotzon. Rotzon ha'odom humahusay, the essence of a man is your rotzon. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking, right in your rotzon. Who do you want to be? What is a beinoni? A beinoni is someone who hasn't decided who they really want to be. Start with a tzaddik. A tzaddik. And we've all got Rabbeim, we got Tzaddikim. A Tzaddik is someone who's their Yetzer Tov is in control. They've made a decision that my Neshama rules my decision making, my Neshama rules my actions. And essentially, that's where they've parked themselves, in the role of being navigated by their Yetzer Tov. Sometimes they make mistakes, but essentially, that's who they are. A Rasha is the opposite. Someone who doesn't want to be navigated by his Neshama. He only wants to be navigated by the Yetzer Hara. Do you know what? Sometimes the Rasha does some good things. You know, some Rishonim have got a grandmother that sometimes they go and visit, and they can be quite nice to it. They can sometimes be nice to their parents, and they can do good acts. So you can have a Rasha who does good acts, but they're still a Rasha. What is a Beinoni? A Beinoni is someone who for about half an hour they are there, they want to be governed by the Yetzer Tov. That's what they want to be. But if they just leave shul and go into their car, they're not quite sure anymore, and all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara can mamish take over the steering wheel and navigate one for a couple of hours, and then the Yetzer Tov comes back and says, no, I want to be in control. And that's what happens day in, day out. If we're talking on the metaphor of a steering wheel, people keep jumping out of the driving seat. The Yetzer Tov is in, half an hour later the Yetzer Hara is back in. They haven't totally decided who I want to be. That's why it's only teshuvah which can shift that balance. You see, if according to the Rambam, that's what he means by a beinoni is someone who hasn't decided truly where he's holding, so it's one more mitzvah isn't going to help, because one more mitzvah is continuing the cycle that he's been on. The only thing that can help is getting off that cycle and making a decision that I want to change. But now I want to be governed by my neshama. I want to do the Ratzon Hashem the whole time. That is what's needed to shift us from the Beinoni to the Tzaddik. So that's why it's the Shiva that it's needed. Now we can start looking at some of the other problems. See, again, the Groen and others explain that when we talk about the Sefer Chaim, it's not physical life. It's Olam HaRuchnis. Do we realize that Rosh Hashanah is more about actually Olam Haba? Sefer Chaim is establishing your position in the Olam HaNitzchi, in the eternal world, which obviously is very much connected to our physical world, because our Olam Haba is the consequence of your Olam Haza. Just like on Rosh Hashanah you're sowing the seeds for your future year, your decision if you want to be in the Sefer Chaim or the Sefer Mason is the decision of where we want to be in Olam Haba. So what's being established is, do you want a Olam HaRuchni? Do you want a life which your Neshama governs you? Or Chalila? No, that's not what we want. We want to be affected purely by our physical instincts, by Yetzer Hara. That's who we want to determine us. And that's the Sefer Chaim and the Sefer Mason. So Avada Moshe Rabbeinu, the year before he was Nifta, of course isn't the Sefer Chaim, the highest stage of the Sefer Chaim. But now we have to understand the Tosis. The Tosis are, if everything is Kolel in Rosh Hashanah, then what's the effect of every day? What's the effect, for instance, on Pesach, of Tavuah? One of the things Tosfos talks about is that the din is on Rosh Hashanah, but the gezeirah in the end, the gemar din, the conclusion is going to be on Pesach. What does this mean? Again, let me show you a Rav Dessler on what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about. And Rav Dessler says like this: but a Kodesh Baruch Hu is deciding, which is actually based on your hachlosa, is where you want to be holding in Ruchnis. If we use our dogma, or the reality of the 49 Madregas, you're going to decide where you want to be in those 49 Madregas. That's what's being decided, actually. Not being decided if you're going to have a new car per se that year. That's not the din. The din is on your nekudas haruchnis, on your point of ruchnis. That's what's being decided. And in fact, the Dessler writes that one of the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah is that you can move in Madregas much more in Rosh Hashanah than you can normally do in a year. During the year, we move between maybe Madrega, if we're on Madrega 20, you're moving between 20 and 21, that's your movement. Rosh Hashanah, you can shoot 10, 15 Madregas. The koyach of the day, the essence of the day, the nearness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us, allows us to make an incredible move. And based on your move, it's going to be the other aspects of your din. I'll give you an example. When for a few months still Tony Blair is still going to be picking a cabinet, so we can still use him as an example. So for Mr. Blair is picking his cabinet, every cabinet minister will have so many faculties of the role that goes with the job. So with the job of the Chancellor goes the future Prime Minister, with the job of the Chancellor goes having a certain car, a certain house, a certain kind of briefcase, a certain secretary. There's so many aspects that go with that job of the Chancellor. With the job of Defense Secretary goes a whole different team and a whole different job description, etc., etc. What is decided for us is which job are we having? What's going to be our avoda in Ruchnius? And based on your job in Ruchnius will go so many of the other aspects, so many of the Gashmius elements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits to see how does this facilitate your job in Ruchnius. Oh, you want to be on this level Ruchnius? So this, you need X, you need Y, you need Z to facilitate that Avodah. So what's being decided? The MS is your Ikka Avodah. And it says the day judges you. The way our Kavanas are on that day judges you. In fact, we're taught that it judges you more on your plans for the future than for the past. Yom Kippur is about focusing on the past and doing teshuva. Rosh Hashanah, you won't find one mention of vidoy in any of your tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, Kabbalistically, it's quite dangerous to do vidoy on Rosh Hashanah. Kodesh Baruch is sitting on the kisei of din. We don't mention our averus explicitly. What we shouldn't be mentioning is our kabbalah is la'asit. What do you want to do this year? Where do you want to be? What is your resolution? Your kabbalah is what we're being judged on. And based on that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you what you need. Now it gets quite a bit more complex, because if, for instance, you've elevated yourself to Madrigal 25 in the Ruchni ladder, meaning you want a Devekus HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your year, not just one day a week, not just 2 days, 24/7, you want that connection. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gives you what you need. However, a lot of that will be A, subject to your teshuva, and B, sometimes subject to your actions throughout the year as well. For instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might say that for your Avodah, you need to have a Tzloch and Parnasa this year. But exactly how much? Who says that's what's decided? Rav Dessler says that actually you get a bracha for Hatzlacha, but exactly how much, that's up to you and your year and your tefillah throughout the year and your tzedakah giving throughout the year. Pesach is going to have a big part to play in the gemar din of your panosah per se. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Your Ikar Avodah, that's what's defined on Rosh Hashanah. The different faculties, the different dimensions that go with the job, that is subject to your tefillah throughout the year, subject to your tshuva throughout the year, subject to so much. So, I tell my Talmudim at JLE that the idea is to, when you're making Kabbalahs, to be mekabel one or two things different for that year. You can't be mekabel so much. Make one or two mitzvahs. Those are the mitzvahs that I'm going to embark on, I'm going to specialize on throughout the year. Let me just share with you a mitzvah that I heard from a student who's studying in Afamech at the moment, to show you the koyach of the mitzvah. It's a true story. He was an Israeli soldier who was hijacking one Friday afternoon. Even hitchhiking. And he was hitchhiking, and a guy stopped and said, "Let me give you a ride." And he actually persuaded him on that journey to come home to his house for Shabbos. So this soldier who was very secular, who had never really experienced Shabbos before, now got more than he bargained for in that ride home, and had a whole Shabbos experience. And Baruch Hashem, he went to a family which was very inspirational for Shabbos, and he had the most incredible, amazing time. So much so that at the end of Shabbos, he said to the host, wow, that was something that I want to take back to my army unit with me, but what can I take back? What is something that I can now do which my friends aren't going to laugh at me? And they started going through a list. They said, you know, what about tefillin? You must be joking. What about tzitzis? Forget about it. What about a mezuzah? I can't, make people are going to see. And they couldn't come up with anything that he felt comfortable taking. So the Barabai said, okay, you know what we'll do? To the Gaira Hagra, the famous Gaira Hagra, you open up a sefer and you open up to it and see if there's a message. So the Masi Shahaya, there was a Shulchan Aruch on the table, and they opened up Shulchan Aruch, and it came to the page which tells us how to put on our shoes in the morning. It tells us you put on your right shoe first, then your left shoe, and you tie your left shoe, and then you tie your right shoe. And the soldier heard that. He goes, amazing. There is a God. fantastic. This is perfect because I've got to put on my shoes anyway in the morning. No one will know. No one will know. I can do a spiritual act. No one's going to laugh. Fantastic. Thank you so much. And he went off back to his army unit. For 3 months, every single day religiously, he did his first true spiritual activity, the Shem Shamayim. He put on his shoes in the right way. Right shoe, left shoe, tied his left, tied his right. One morning he forgot. First morning he forgot. And as he's standing in line, and the captain is going through everyone, checking everyone's uniform, it just occurs to him what had happened. And he had this incredible dilemma. He's made a type of promise that this is the way he wants to put on his shoes in the morning. On the other hand, if he goes out of line and says, I actually put on my shoes the wrong way this morning, he's probably going to be in the army prison. And something came over him, and he stepped out of line and said, I've just got to put on my shoes the right way, sorry. He was chucked in the army prison, in the chuk, they call it, for 24 hours. But here's where the story gets quite sad. He comes out of his of the chuk. It was in 1997. And he found out his whole squad unit had experienced the terrible helicopter crash that happened over the Lebanon that morning. It's one of the unique occasions in Israeli military history where they had an accidental helicopter crash and they lost 70 soldiers, and he was meant to be on that helicopter. And it obviously moved him tremendously, made him wonder what is the power of this Shulchan Aruch. And he actually then went off to Osamech to study and to find out the koyach of what it means. And if that's a Kabbalah for mitzvah of tying our shoes the right way, kal v'chaymah, the power of when we can be mekabel a mitzvah, mekabel Lashon Hara, that we're not going to speak Lashon Hara next year, which encompasses over 30 mitzvahs in the Torah. So come on, imagine the koyach. So to conclude, I heard from Dain Ehrenstroh, he asked, why do we wish people Shana Toiva u'mesukah? If it's Toiva, then it's Mesukah. If it's good, then it's sweet. What's the good and sweet? And he said that many things can be the Toiva. Many things can be for our betterment, but they're not necessarily sweet. They're not necessarily good for us. They're not necessarily pleasant for us. When my daughter has incredible pains in her tooth and she needs a filling, it's good for her to have the filling, but it's extremely painful. So the bracha that we give is all of us should be zeicha to a shana tova, which is also mesukah.